Thank the Lord this morning for the love of God. I'm very thankful for the privilege that we have to worship Him this morning. I know there's still a lot of places where they're not able to come together just around the world. They're not able to come together to worship. So it's a blessing for us to be able to meet here outside this morning, and we look for the Lord to give us a special visitation of His Spirit. Before Monarch, we had been in a little series of messages about resisting the devil. We'd like to continue with that this morning. And in some of these messages, it's where theology meets reality, all right? It's where the rubber meets the road. And the message this morning, I would that it not just be theology to us, but it has practical implications to our daily life. Now, to resist the devil, the scripture says resist the devil and he will do what? He'll flee from you. In other words, he has to run. But to resist, by definition, means to push back. In other words, we cannot be complacent Christians or we will lose. All right? We are in a spiritual battle this morning, and I know sitting out here under blue skies and a very, very few fluffy little clouds and under the trees, we say, well, everything's good. But we have an enemy this morning, and the enemy is subtle. He knows our weaknesses, and he has traps laid for each and every one of us. So we need to be on guard, and we need to keep up a resistance against the wiles of the devil. So we're going to pick up where we left off the last time we had service of 3 weeks ago, two or three weeks ago here. In Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to pick up with verse 10. He said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Now we covered that a few weeks ago, spiritual battle that we're in. He said to take on the whole armor of God. One of the things that I want us to keep in mind this morning, as we brought out a few weeks ago, and that is that if we take on most of the armor that's been provided to us, and we leave off one thing, that is our area of vulnerability. So we could have on our helmet, and we could have our sword, and we could have on all of the armor guarding us, and we could say, I'm doing pretty good. But if we go out without a shield, we're going to get in trouble, because a shield serves a purpose, doesn't it? So I want to challenge us this morning, don't be confident because you've got most of the armor on. The caution was here, two places he said, take on the whole armor of God. And again, if I may say it again, this is where theology meets reality, all right? Because the theology, the things the Bible teaches, the doctrines, they are there for a reason. It's there for more than just academic purposes. It's there for more than just theologians to study and ministers to preach about. It has something to do with how you and me, how we live our lives. All right? It's there for how the decisions that we make on a daily basis. Do you want the devil to take advantage? I think we'd all say no. Then take on the whole armor of God. And if we're doing this right and that right, but over here there's a weakness and we're not in obedience to the Word of God, it's more than theology. That's the area that the enemy is going to come in and try to take advantage of us. And so he said then, stand therefore, and this is the armor, and I know that this is very familiar to us. It's familiar theologically, right? But I would that it be practical to us this morning. Therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now, this is part of the armor. Your loins girt about with truth. In essence, he's talking about a belt, all right? It holds everything in place. That's part of the armor. It holds the, you know, all of the protection that what he's talking about, your loins gird about with truth. It's talking about kind of like a belt that holds the shirt and the pants where they ought to belong. All right? Where they belong. Well, truth does that for us as Christians. Truth keeps things in line in our life as well. We need to measure every decision in our life by the truth of the Word of God. We are being inundated in our world with a philosophy and ideologies that are liberal and watered down. Many times it's watered down truth, and it's not, it doesn't line up to what the Bible teaches. I want to remind us of something. If our loins are girt about with truth, it means we're going to be feeding on things that are true. If you feed on things that are not true, through time, you're going to start believing it. Okay, is that correct? It doesn't matter how strong we think we are mentally. Saints, I have seen this happen over and over and over. People that have their minds, their loins are girt about with truth. They're feeding on the Word of God, and they stop feeding on the Word, and they start feeding on the mentality of the world. And pretty soon, just in their conversation, you can start hearing a difference. Who have you been listening to? You've been listening to the radio too much. You've been listening to the news too much. You're starting to, your mindset is starting to buy in to things that are not according to the Word of God. We have a lot of movements in our world today. Do you realize that every movement in this world we need to measure to what the Bible teaches? What does the Word of God say about when someone treats you badly and someone treats you wrong? Didn't Jesus address that? Our loins are to be girt about with truth. Jesus talked about the Roman soldier that said could compel you to go a mile and you carry his bag for a mile. Jesus said, you know what? If the Roman soldier, and I'm paraphrasing here, if the Roman soldier makes you carry his back for a mile, just carry it for him 2 miles. If you listen to the ideology of the world, stand up against injustice. Is that what the Bible teaches? No, Jesus said, forgive your enemies. He said, love them and pray for them and do good to them. If you feed on the mentality of the world, it stand up for yourself. We see rioting. We see protests. And I know there's some lawful causes. There are some just causes that people are protesting. The cause of equality, is that biblical? Yes, it is. Treat, love your neighbor as yourself. That's biblical. But if someone doesn't treat you right, what does the Bible teach us to do? Love them, forgive them, go the extra mile. That's what the Bible teaches us. And it seems like there are many times in our world today that even in nominal Christianity, there are certain things that they don't want the Bible to be their measure of truth. But do you know what someone did to me? Or do you, it gets, we could get, carry this into the political realm. The scripture teaches us that pray for the leaders of our land that we might lead a quiet and a peaceable life. He said to pray. Pray for them, not to get wrapped up and entangled with the affairs of this life. The world is doing it, but if we feed into the mentality of the world, we will lose that quiet and peaceable spirit that we are to have as the people of God. And as the people of God, we can begin to get suspicious of everybody around us because what are your motivations? As children of God, let's be our loins girt about with truth. Measure by the Word of God. And if it's not according to the Scripture, don't be ashamed to stand where the Lord taught us to stand. Speculating on things that are contrary to God's Word. Be careful. Be careful. Do you know there are some things that the Lord, for a reason, did not address and give us the answers to in the Word of God? And I've been in many a discussion and people asking questions, what happened, what about this? It's like, well, I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. We can speculate, but they have used those questions as a source to gender strife and division. If the Bible didn't tell, I don't know where all the devil came from. I'll just acknowledge to you. I know where he didn't come from. He didn't come from heaven. He was not an angel up in the celestial heavens, because the scripture teaches us heaven is a holy place. It's pure. Well, but where did he come from in all of this? I can speculate just like you can. But at the end of the discussion, we have to acknowledge we really don't know. So should we let that be a source of division among us? No, let's measure what we know by truth, and the things we don't know, there is a place of committing those things to the Lord and not letting that cause a problem among us as a people. Jesus resisted the devil using the word of God, didn't he? But do you remember the devil quoted scripture as well? That is the reason why it is important for us to take the whole word of God. Because many times people can turn to one passage of scripture and they can start formulating their whole life on one scripture. But scripture says take the whole armor of God. The devil can use one scripture against us, folks, and it's why we need to take the whole thing. Well, there's another passage of scripture. I'm just going to read it to you in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. It said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The world wants to shame you this morning from speaking truth. They want to shame you. You aren't vogue. You don't understand. You just really aren't with the times. Has anybody ever felt that pressure? Do you realize there is no shame in standing in the truth this morning? That's where the Lord wants us to stand. The devil wants us this morning to sympathize with unrighteousness. What is unrighteousness? Unrighteousness is everything that is contrary to God. Unforgiveness, folks, is unrighteousness. It's sin. We talked about just a little bit this morning, telling a lie. That's unrighteousness. Treating people in not unforgiveness, treating people poorly, that's unrighteousness. But if you listen to the news this morning, what do you find in the movements and in the politics of our day? It's centered with unrighteousness. If you find people that are racist, that's a big issue in our country today. Where people are racist, that is contrary to the Word of God. The scripture teaches us to love your neighbor as yourself. It teaches us to treat the poor man and the rich man the same. Not to be a respecter of persons. Folks, there have been those that have been racist that have named the name of Christ, but I dare say they're not living holy lives. True Christians that are following the Word of God love everyone regardless of the color of their skin, regardless of their socioeconomic status. Those things have no place among God's people. So this is what the Bible says. But the Bible also teaches me when I'm mistreated because of who I am, the Bible says forgive them. And I can't testify to anybody else's experience. I can tell you experiences I have had in other countries. I've experienced racism. I've experienced profiling. I've experienced that from other people. And you know, when it happened, it starts being easy to get resentment. So for people that have resentments because of that, I understand it, but I still have to come back to what the Bible says, and it says forgive. It says forgive them, because just last year, I was in Africa, and I was profiled, and I'll tell you, there was something in me that started to, in the flesh, that started to get a little riled up. It's like, this is wrong. This is just not right. It was by some authorities. And you know what? I still have to come back. What does the Lord want me to do? Forgive them. Show love. Don't let this become part of who you are. Do you realize this morning the Bible addresses the issues that we're facing in our world today? Ideology, but it said the God of the world had blinded their minds. When you feed on something, beware, it's going to affect how you think. So I want to challenge you young people, especially you young people, be careful what you listen to. Be careful. I'm not saying it's wrong to listen to the news or read the news. I am not saying that at all. Please don't misunderstand me. But I want to tell you something. You better be careful. I don't care whether it's CBS or CNN or Fox. be careful how much you, what you put in your minds, because if you're not careful, it will start affecting the way your perspectives and the way you view things, and you better be sure that you line it all up with the Word of God. It doesn't matter the cause that's out there, line it up with what the Bible teaches. I hope this is all right. Isn't this where we live? The reason is because we need to resist the devil. Have we not seen the devil in the middle of all this stuff that's happening in our world today? It's getting in families, it's in congregations, and it can be in the body of Christ. We need to push back. And what's happening is the devil would like us to muffle ourselves, that we're not pushing back, because we don't want to offend anyone. We don't want to offend anybody. It doesn't matter what side of the political aisle you're on. It doesn't matter what, again, socioeconomic status or what part of the country, those things, that's not what we're talking about. We don't want to be silent and allow the enemy to warp our stand in truth of love, forgiveness, equality, and oneness in the body of Christ. All right? Because the scripture also teaches that in the last days there would be those that would heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, I just want to hear what I want. Have your loins girt about with truth. Is it right? Is it true? You young people, when you're asked questions and people come and start trying to put their thinking on you, just line it up with what the Bible teaches. Think about what Jesus taught and how he lived. That's what he's requiring of us today. It's what he's requiring. This enables us to resist and stand against and push back against the devil. See, temptation is more. Go back to our example we've used many times, right? Whether it's a can of beer or a Danish. All right? Temptation is more than those things of the flesh that you look at and say, oh, I'm drawn to that. Okay, that's a temptation. Temptations of the flesh. The devil is working as hard, if not more, on temptations in the mind with the ideologies that were in our society today. See, it's not just the temptations of the fleshly, of fleshliness. All right? It's temptations of intellectualism. It's temptations that comes by what's happening around us, that we want to be vogue and with the times, and you want to push back against the enemy? Truth needs to be our measuring rod. I trust the Lord will just take this and help us. You know, abortion's a big issue. You know that abortion, homosexuality, are big issues in our world today. Gender. Make a choice on what you're going to be. Oneness. And they do it in the name of equality. Folks, that's a warped... It's a warped sense of, it takes the truth and twists it. God values everyone, and everyone is equal in his sight, regardless of who or what someone is. As children of God, if there's someone that's living a lifestyle that's sinful, what does the Lord teach us to do? Love them. Forgive them. Go the extra mile. How else will they see Christ? If I say that is horrible and that's awful, the sin is that God died for them. Just like he died for us. He died for the fornicator, he died for the adulterer, and he died for the homosexual. Is that all right to say? It's out and open, so folks, if we're muffled in our services, there's a mentality that's pushing every time almost you turn on the news and in the media, it's pushing for acceptance of sinfulness. Love the sinner, hate the sin. And so then if we start feeding on these philosophies, we will start excusing and minimizing the sinfulness of those things. Line it up with the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? So I would just want, we need to push back, resist the devil. Or are we going to be complacent as a people? We just won't talk about those things. We need to push back. Or it will become part of us unless we feed on the Word of God. I trust that this will be a blessing and a help to us. He went on to say, have your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness would first apply to justification, being saved. But that helmet of salvation, we'll get there, if not today, then another time. But the breastplate of righteousness is holy living. It's righteous. It's clean. It's pure. Holiness is more than a theology. All right? Young people, I wish my words could get through. It's going to take the Holy Spirit to do it. It's more than theology. It's more than, well, this is the traditions of the church of God that we don't do this and we do that. What the Bible teaches is there to protect us and enable us to push back against the enemy. Holy living. The reason why there are certain things we don't bring into our homes are because we don't want to be under the influence of something that's not godly. That I talked about a few weeks ago, we have the cell phone now and it's in our pockets, isn't it? Is your cell phone going to be a tool or is it going to be a source of entertainment, a source that the enemy comes in the back door to try to affect us in our minds from pushing back against the sinful things of this world? You can take a stand against the television all you want, but folks, that's almost a non-issue today. It really is. It's almost a non-issue. So it has to do with your personal choices. It has to do with the decisions you make personally in your life. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. The scripture says to follow peace with all men and holiness without what? Without which no man shall see the Lord. Folks, holiness is a requirement. But holiness was never intended to put us in bondage. Holiness was intended to protect us from the evil of the world. This is how we stand against the wiles of the devil. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Well, do you know that that's one of the reasons the Bible teaches modesty? And we may address this more in depth and specifically another time as well. And if you want, I can send out a text and let you know. So if you don't want to come, you don't have to come. But I want you to know this morning that this is part of the armor of God's people. Because it protects us from the power of the enemy. It has to do with loving one another. We don't want to dress in a way that causes a temptation in someone's life. We don't want to dress in a way that draws undue attention to ourselves, that someone's going to have to turn their head. We want to dress in a way that protects us from the evil of the world. Now, can we acknowledge this morning that the way we dress affects how we feel? Do you know that there's nothing wrong with that? Because I will just tell you, if I had on my paint clothes this morning, I would feel a little differently than I do having a suit coat on this morning. Right? Those of you that wear boots, and I used to wear boots when I was a young man, but do you realize that if you put on a pair of boots, you feel different than when you wear a pair of tennis shoes? You walk different, right? Nothing's wrong with either one of them, lest anybody be afraid of where I'm going. There's nothing wrong with either one of them, but the point I'm making is it makes you feel differently. Do you realize that in living a holy life, we need to watch how what we wear makes us feel? Look in the mirror. If we're not covered, we don't have enough on. That's a breastplate of righteousness. It's a covering to stand and push against how the devil works with others and in our own life. And if something, we look in the mirror and think, I'm looking pretty good. Do you realize that there's some pride of life there? Do you realize that is not just about the clothing that I'm covered up, but if we are dressing in a way that we want people in the world to look on us, and it's like, wow, there's some pride involved in that. Line that up according to what the scripture teaches, folks. We are to dress and live in humility. Do you realize that's why you don't have to take the preacher home to go through your closet? I don't want to get in your closet. But personally, if we want to stand against the wiles of the devil, we need to put on the whole armor of God. examine, how does it make me feel? How does it look? Does this look like a saint of God? Young people, you sisters, it's not the sisters anymore. I think the guys are just as bad or worse than the girls anymore. And I mean, you understand what I'm saying. Where the devil's working. The guys and girls, you're wonderful. But where the enemy is working with the outward appearance is what I'm talking about. The vanity that's in our world, it used to be more with the ladies. It's not anymore. In our world today, the guys are just as much or more vain than the women are, it seems like. So what it means then is that we come when we examine our life, be careful about saying, well, I don't want to look like a saint. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands if anyone has ever had that thought cross your mind. I don't want to have my hair like that or my skirt like that or my shirt like that or I don't want to look. Wait just a minute. What is your desire of your heart? If our desire is to please God, then I want to look like a saint of God. I don't want to look different. I don't want to look... That doesn't mean there's not uniqueness. You don't have to wear the same patterns or the same colors that the other sisters here are wearing. The Lord gave us freedom of choice. We have preferences and desires and uniqueness. That's all right. But do you realize that there's still going to be a standard in our life of humility and being modest? And that's going to look a little different from time to time, isn't it? From generation to generation. But we're still going to look like saints of God. And if there's something in you that says, I don't want to look like that, you know what? It's really, you can put on the most modest stuff. That's not going to fix that condition of heart. The heart, then, is the issue. But if we can recognize this is a protection to us to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know what? I thought we were going to finish this morning. I think the Lord would have us stop there so we can take it home with us. Because there's more where that came from in the Word. But I want to encourage us this morning, this is where theology meets practicality. Put on the whole armor. We can say, well, I've got this doctrine right and I've got this right. No, measure everything to truth. What does the Bible say? Put on the breastplate of righteousness. If what you do, you cannot put the stamp of holiness unto the Lord on it, is it fair to say we probably ought not to be doing it? I think some of you are scared to nod your head, yes. But you know what? It's not my job to please you, and it's not your job to please me. It's not the job of the ministers to have another minister's meeting on vote on what you should or shouldn't do. Because guess what? The ministers aren't going to be your judge at the end of time. You will stand and I will stand individually before God. But if we want to stand in this evil day, this what the apostles said, to stand against the enemy in this evil day, let's put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God. Measure it by the truth and let's live in righteousness, and we're going to find power against the enemy. Thank you all for your attention this morning.